Longview 150 Stories, a partnership project between the City of Longview and the Longview Public Library, showcasing 150 distinct stories designed to reveal Longview's history during this sesquicentennial celebration. Sprinkled among the daily podcasts are personal stories, large-scale histories, and interesting tidbits about the life and fabric of this dynamic community. Today, we're visiting with local author Kimberly Fish, who is discussing Harmon General Hospital, which was the subject of her second novel, Harmon General. Today's portion shall cover the hospital through the end of World War II.
And so, voila, Longview gets a hospital. They shipped this thing in nearly overnight. They acquired lands from the Hollingsworth family, 250 acres, at what had been a farm. They bring a railhead down, and then they start shipping in this sort of prefab, preformed hospital campus with 150 acres, 255 structures via rail. And the interesting thing is the campus layout is identical at every U.S. Army hospital in the United States. And the reason for that was that if a physician or a tech surgeon or a sergeant was assigned to go to Madigan Hospital or Walter Reed or Harmon General, they could walk on the campus and everything would be exactly the same as it was in every other place, and they wouldn't have to waste time relearning locations. So the way they positioned Harmon General was the front of it faced Moberly Avenue, the back of it faced the railhead, and they set up these barracks. They were long, white, it looked like a stack of dominoes, and they were all connected by enclosed hallways to transport soldiers around because of inclement weather or rain or winter. And yet the windows were open and they were designed to catch the breeze. Now I'm going to be honest, these were segregated times. So there was a segregated section for the Negro soldiers, and then there was the section for the white soldiers, and there was a section for German POWs. They had a POW camp. It wasn't large because the largest POW camp in the area was in Smith County, but those that could be trusted were moved to this POW camp, and they became the orderlies that did the grunt work at Harmon General. Now, I'm reading this thinking, oh my word, what if I'm an American soldier? I'm laying in a hospital bed. I've lost my arm, my leg. You know, I've got some complicated medical story now, courtesy of engagement with the Germans, and all of a sudden I hear a German accent emptying the bedpans. Oh, tell me that's not ripe for conflict. Well, remarkably, also at Harmon General, they were developing crazy, crazy medical advances that are still in practice today. I was able to look at the roster of people that were assigned to Harmon, and specifically the laboratory that was here and the pathologist that was the head of the lab invented what we now know as medical standard in lab testing. And he went on to write the textbooks that are still being taught in medical schools today on laboratory procedures. And they also developed penicillin, and they were just doing all this inventive medical training because they had soldiers here with everything from syphilis to malaria. And there were specific injuries that were sent to the Harmon Hospital, mostly soldiers that had faced an amputation of some sort and needed physical rehabilitation. And they invented the prosthetics and the therapy that would help those soldiers readapt to civilian life. They also invented the artificial eye here at Harmon General, using an artist out of Shreveport, Louisiana, who would hand paint the ceramic eye that would be replaced in their eye socket. But what was probably one of the most definitive developments that came out of Harmon General were the treatments for malaria. Because prior to what was developed here at Harmon General, our soldiers had an awful regimen of medicines that they had to take to try to prevent malaria from debilitating them when they got into the Asian theater. And so for our lab tech and our physicians, because there was an infectious disease department here, to figure out how to treat malaria more effectively was a game changer in the way our soldiers were able to fight in Asia. And they did it. And they also figured out better ways to treat them once they had contracted malaria, and so that they could be rehabilitated and then reassigned to the war effort. I mean, that's game-changing. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's war-winning technology that came out of this little hospital here in Longview, Texas, because we're still facing issues of malaria, and so that knowledge that was created here under a wartime crisis changed outcomes for everyone. Knowing that all of that was happening in that same crazy culture of an oil-rich East Texas town that was coming to terms with its role in the war because of our... we had a lot of soldiers that got sent off to the war effort. We have these crossroads of rail lines, so soldiers from all of the Southeast are processing into this area to get transferred to whatever station that they're being reassigned. Families are trucking in on these trains to visit their soldiers at Harmon General. And then we have this culture here in East Texas, still doing the whole, you know, racial diversity, racial conflict dynamic that's going on. We had a lot of our black families working the railroad lines. We had a lot of our black families being having soldiers drafted to the war. And these are families had never experienced this before. Mm-hmm. Just really dramatic stories of personal sacrifice that came out of our local community, black and white, mm-hmm. and Hispanic, and Lebanese, and Asian. Because if they had become American citizens, they were apt to be drafted. It was really fascinating to me how our local community responded to the war effort and all the strangers that got brought to Longview with this Harmon General. I mean, let's call it a spade a spade. 5,000 people were imported to Longview to staff this Army hospital. That's a lot of Yankees for East Texas to have to deal with. And the crazy thing is, a lot of them ended up staying after the war. But... records indicate that there were 5,000 personnel taking care of Harmon General Hospital. And in the course of its lifetime, 25,000 soldiers were treated. And I think there were very few negative stories that came out of that. Mm-hmm. Many of them were either processed out of the military and equipped to deal with civilian life, or maybe they went back into service. But 25,000 soldiers were brought through our neck of the woods. And it was fascinating to me to discover that the women of Longview, they stepped up in a way that I don't know that we will ever see the likes of quite again. So these women, these mothers of Longview, understood that these soldiers were being sent here to recover from debilitating illnesses that they incurred on the front lines, and they worried for them. They worried that they were going to be stranded here without a home touch, that they were disconnected from their families, that they were lost and confused. And so they formed a local group called the Gray Ladies. Now the Gray Ladies, I think, might have been a little envious of the Red Cross, who had their sweet little uniforms, and so they formed their own uniforms, and they were gray. And they were a volunteer band of women who would knit lap rugs, they would roll bandages, they would organize dances and events on the Harmon General campus for the soldiers. They made sure that the USO came through, and they took care of the Negro soldiers as well as they took care of the white soldiers. And they made sure that as many people as that were wanting it had a little touch of home while they were here in Longview. I'm not going to promise you that they didn't let their daughters dance with these soldiers, because they probably didn't want their girls getting too close to a soldier and being shipped off somewhere else. But the fact that they stepped up in this way, using the skills that they had, that they knew, that they were capable of providing, and they gave generously. That's what mothers do. That's what women do in a time of crisis. And in this time where women had such a limited role in the war effort, it was very limited. These women felt like they gave. They participated. And it really changed lives and changed outcomes.